Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
St. Augustine's University is facing its financial crisis head on. Right now on WRAL's New News, leaders explain what they plan to do to keep the school open for business.
Plus, what you need to know about a data breach impacting some Bank of America customers.
And he was already charged with DWI. At this hour, new charges filed against the father in the crash that killed his son this weekend. Good afternoon to you on this President's Day Monday. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. For the first time, leaders at St. Augustine's University are answering questions about the financial future of the HBCU.
So in the last week, we have learned the private university didn't pay its employees on time and owes millions of dollars to contractors and the IRS.
WRL's Matt Tallhelm is live on the Raleigh campus, where the university's interim president just wrapped up a news conference to address these issues. Matt.
Yeah, Renee and Jeff, interim president Marcus Burgess spoke for about 35 minutes here. He answered our questions. And toward the end of that, I want to show you a group of neighbors here. Supporters of St. Augs came out here with their signs, St. Augs strong. They are neighbors. They say this university means so much to this community here. Now, the interim president here, he admits the school is in a very dire situation, but he says it will not shut down even as it fights to maintain its accreditation and to meet its payroll. Burgess became interim president in December after the board fired President Christine Johnson McPhail. WRL has learned St. Augustine's failed to pay its employees on time several times over the last few months, including that most recent payroll on February 9th. Today we learned from Burgess, he says employees have now been paid, but he does say meeting payroll will still be a challenge going forward. Burgess says the university has hired a financial consultant and is meeting with the IRS and some of those others who are owed money.
The issues we face did not begin yesterday and will not simply be gone and resolved by tomorrow. But I assure you, our students, faculty, our proud alumni and community, the great Raleigh community, the Oakwood community, that we are working feverishly to structure a cogent and viable plan to extricate this venerable institution.
And again, some of those neighbors he talks about here showing their support for the university. Now, Burgess says one of the biggest challenges going forward will be St. Augustine's accreditation. Tomorrow, he is heading to Atlanta right now in the next few minutes here to meet with the accrediting organization over the university to make an appeal, a formal appeal to the process here. You may remember St. Augustine's was put on probation back a few months ago because of financial issues, financial responsibility issues. He will get a chance to formally present that appeal to that board, and within 7 days expects an answer. But he says if the university does not maintain its accreditation, they will be filing a legal challenge to that.
A lot to sort through there. Matt Tallhelm live on St. Aug's campus for us this noon. Thank you. The chair of a community-based organization in Durham wants 30 days without protests over the ongoing problems at Durham Public Schools. Walter Jackson is the chair of the Durham Committee on the Affairs of Black People. He called on the county to step in and help as well. He just wrapped up his comments in the last few minutes. WRL's Monica Casey is there and will join us in the next half hour with a live report.
New this noon, a father is facing additional charges in a crash that killed three people, including his son. The deadly crash happened Saturday night on U.S. 64 alternate in Edgecombe County. WRL's Ken Smith joins us now with this new information. Ken.
First off, Renee, where this happened, according to Edgecombe County first responders, is known as Dead Man's Curve. Here's the new information we learned this morning about the driver charged in this crash. Troopers say 39-year-old Jerry Pollard now faces three counts of felony death by motor vehicle, one count of serious injury by motor vehicle, speeding, reckless driving, and failure to maintain a lane. Those seven charges are in addition to the DWI charge we knew about over the weekend. Troopers say Pollard lost control of his SUV, crossed the center line, and collided with a pickup truck and alternate U.S. 264. Pollard's 19-year-old son, Jeremy, as well as 19-year-old Jawion Drake and 34-year-old Brittany Armstrong died when they were thrown from Pollard's vehicle. Troopers say three of them were not wearing seatbelts. The other passenger in Pollard's car, 30-year-old Morgan Page, was critically hurt and and is recovering at a hospital. Pollard and the driver of the pickup truck also went to the hospital with injuries. Troopers say beer cans were also found in Pollard's car. Now, just before we came on the air, we checked with the State Highway Patrol. Pollard remains in the hospital pending his first court appearance once he's released. Of course, count on WREL to stay on top of this story and keep you updated. Bene.
Thanks for that update, Ken.
A Sampson County man is facing charges after a man was found dead inside the burned remnants of a mobile home. Deputies arrested 46-year-old Perry Folger of Faison on Sunday afternoon. He's charged with assault and burglary, and the sheriff's office says more charges are likely. The arrest comes after crews responded to a fire at a mobile home on Alex Benton Road near Newton Grove just before 1 Sunday morning. They found an injured woman in the front yard and later discovered the body of 64-year-old Harry Taylor inside. A neighbor we spoke with described Taylor as a character who had lost a leg to cancer.
It's just sad to see him. No one needs to go have that happen.
Our crew at the scene discovered pages of a search warrant that were left behind, and they reveal both victims were assaulted with a bat. The woman who was hurt is 69-year-old Elvin Franklin. She was apparently hurt while trying to defend Taylor, and she was unable to get him out of the house as it burned.
Thousands of Bank of America customers may have had their information compromised in a data breach last year. The data breach happened to Infosys McCamish Systems. The company services deferred compensation plans for Bank of America. IMS says its systems were hacked on November 30th. More than 50,000 customers nationwide may have had their names, addresses, and social security numbers leaked. Again, Bank of America was not hacked. One of its service providers was. We're working to learn how many people here in North Carolina were affected. North Carolina is launching a new tool for people in crisis, the opportunity to talk to someone who's been through it themselves. It's called a peer warm line, because people calling will speak to a person on the other end who is living in recovery. It will have its own phone number to call. People who call or text 988 will also have the option to be transferred to the peer line. And this program launches tomorrow.
First day of work is underway on a project that could change your commuting patterns in West Raleigh. Part of Hillsborough Street is closed and will stay closed for the next 2 weeks while crews work on a project right there near the state fairgrounds. WRL's Kelsey Coffey tells us about the project and the ways people can get around it.
If Hillsborough Street is a part of your morning or evening commute, you may notice this road closure. Crews have been working here since 6 o'clock this morning. This is the part of Hillsborough Street that's near the fairgrounds, and crews will be here working for the next 2 weeks. This is a look from Sky 5 at the larger project. Road construction at Hillsborough and Blue Ridge Road is taking longer than expected. NCDOT expected to finish the project this year. The new completion date is set for mid-2025. When the project is finished, Blue Ridge will pass beneath Hillsborough, the railroad tracks, and Barrel Road. A new street will connect Hillsborough and Blue Ridge. NCDOT says this current closure is happening due to a waterline replacement.
The waterline has to be relocated so that we can progress construction for Blue Ridge Road in the future. So we are performing this work now ahead, so we don't have any issues in the future.
This is a list of detours you can take over the next couple of weeks. Trinity Road, Youth Center Drive, Edwards Mill Road, Wade Avenue, and Western Boulevard are all options you can use. This section of Hillsborough Street is expected to reopen March 2nd. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
Officials are investigating the cause of a fire at this Raleigh home. Our breaking news tracker was at the scene of the fire on Marsh Lane Way Sunday afternoon. You can see several crews out there surveying the damage. Several people were inside the home at the time of the fire, including a mother and her two young kids. Firefighters say everyone got out of the home safely and no one was injured.
Next at noon, more weather problems in California, the result of flooding in parts of that state that led to this rock slide.
Also, new information out of Israel. The latest demand for the release of all hostages being held by Hamas.
Plus, mild weather means winter gas prices are coming to an end. The price rise we're all feeling right now. Amy?
The weather is quiet here at home for President's Day, but Jeff mentioned the flooding on the West Coast in California. This system will impact us by the end of the week. I'll show you how much rain it could bring us coming up.
Breaking news in Cumberland County. A manhunt has ended with a shooting suspect in custody. Gilbert Bays is live on the scene right now. Gilbert, what can you tell us?
Well, this is Evan Darius Road and Cedar Creek Road. As you can see, a very active scene back here that's going on right now. Had a chance to talk with Cumberland County Sheriff Ennis Wright, and he said that there was a shooting this morning. You can see some smoke down there because the house was set on fire as well. We're told that an individual shot another person. We're told that that individual has passed away. The good news is the community is not in any threat right now because the sheriff says that they have captured the individual who did the shooting. They caught him off of Interstate 95. But again, a very active scene here, Renee, as investigators try to figure out what happened, who the individual was, and how this conflict started. We're going to stay on top of this story. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to get a brief from the public affairs officer here in Cumberland County. We'll get more details and we'll get back to you after this interview.
All right, we'll see what you learn from investigators there. Thank you, Gilbert.
The widow of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny says Vladimir Putin killed her husband. Yulia Navalny posted a video to her husband's social media accounts today. In it, she says Putin, quote, killed the father of my children. Putin took away the most precious thing that was my closest and most beloved person. Alexei Navalny died in a Russian prison camp last week. Today, Yulia Navalny also met with the European Union's top diplomat and foreign affairs ministers. Navalny's wife is accusing Russian authorities of hiding her late husband's corpse while waiting for traces of a nerve agent to disappear. The minister said they wanted to show support for the Russian opposition while also blaming Russian President Vladimir Putin for Navalny's death.
New information out of Israel this noon. The fighting has reached a somber milestone with more than 29,000 people thought to be killed in the conflict. This comes on the same day as the United Nations top court hears arguments considering the legality of the occupation of Gaza. And Israel sets a new deadline for the return of all hostages.
A workers' strike closed one of the world's most famous monuments. The Eiffel Tower had to shut its doors to the public today after workers walked off the job there. Union workers say city leaders are underfunding and underestimating maintenance costs. Union officials predict a shortfall in maintenance costs could lead to safety issues that keep the tower closed during this summer's Olympics.
And happening right now in the WREL Life Center, we are following some breaking news out of Texas this afternoon. An officer-involved shooting at a private school there. This is a live look at the scene as parents are being reunited with their students. Here's what we know. No students or police officers were hurt, but police say they shot a student who brought a gun on campus of the Pioneer Technology and Arts Academy in Mesquite. That's about 20 minutes east of Dallas. Police say the person, the student, entered the building with a gun. The call to police was then upgraded to an active shooter call. Officers responded, attempted negotiations, but during those negotiations, an officer shot the student. No students or officers were injured. Again, the shooter was taken to the hospital and is in unknown condition right now. We are working to learn the age of the student. And police say that this is not an active shooter situation right now. They say tragedy was avoided. But again, an officer-involved shooting in Mesquite, Texas.
More video coming out of California showing the severe weather there. Check this out. A rock slide on a hill in Del Norte County brought trees down with it, blocking part of the road. California's governor launched the State Emergency Management Center to deal with this round of weather.
NASCAR season is expected to get started today, one day later than planned. The Daytona 500 was postponed yesterday because of rain in Florida. Now the green flag is scheduled to drop at 4 o'clock this afternoon. It is the Super Bowl of racing. You can watch all the action live on Fox 50. Hopefully they'll get some sunshine down there, dry out the track, and they'll be able to run.
Sure. We have a lot of sunshine out there right now and pretty blue skies. If you happen to have this holiday off, it's a pretty nice day to get it off.
Yeah, it is a nice day. Temperatures are warming up. We're in the 50s now, and high pressure is in control, keeping the weather nice and quiet. Thought I'd point out Daytona right here. The rain has moved away, so they should be fine for today's race that's set to get underway at 4 o'clock this afternoon. This is a live look at downtown Raleigh. A beautiful picture here of the museum, the blue sky overhead. It's a gorgeous day. It was a very cold start this morning. A lot of us were down into the 20s. At one point, we made it down to 29 out at RDU. Right now, temperatures have warmed. We're in the 40s. 40s and 50s, so still chilly outside. It's 46 in Roxborough, 48 in Henderson, 51 right now in Rocky Mount, 51 in Raleigh. It's also 51 degrees right now in Siler City. Down to the south, temperatures are in the 50s as well, 51 in Sanford, 52 in Irwin, 53 in Fayetteville. It's also 53 in Clinton, 52 in Goldsboro. Hour by hour today, temperatures will stay in the 50s for the next few hours. We'll reach our high temperature around 3 o'clock this afternoon, 56. The normal this time of year is 57, so pretty close to normal. And then for the evening commute, the weather's nice and quiet, but once the sun sets, we're down into the 40s and then eventually down into the upper 30s by 10 o'clock. So it's going to be another cold night tonight. 20s possible for some of you, maybe Rocky Mount down to 29, 25 in Roxborough, 30 for the low in Raleigh and Durham tonight, and 30 in Southern Pines. And then tomorrow, very similar to today, we'll have a lot of sunshine. High pressure still the main weather feature. We'll have a few clouds streaming in, but temperatures will stay around normal. 55 in Raleigh and Durham, 57 in Fayetteville, 55 for the high in Rocky Mount for tomorrow. The weather stays quiet with high pressure the main feature for the next 3 days. High pressure brings sinking air, which is a quiet weather pattern. But by the time we get to the end of the week, that's when the cold front approaches. We'll have some lift. We'll have a little bit of moisture, a 30% chance for some rain Thursday night, and then a 50% chance for some scattered showers as we head into Friday. But the good news is the weekend is looking dry at this point. A look at Tuesday will stay dry. We'll have a mix of sun and clouds throughout the day Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll have mostly sunny skies, still dry for the middle part of the week. And then the cold front starts to approach us on Thursday. We'll see a thickening of the clouds. It will be a mostly cloudy day on Thursday, but the rain still to the north and west of us during the afternoon Thursday. Once we get into Thursday night, the cold front approaches the North Carolina mountains, and we'll start to see some scattered showers overnight Thursday into Friday morning. This is 6:15 Friday morning, so we could have a wet morning commute, and then in the afternoon we'll have some rain. By the evening, the rain starts to pull away from us, but still in the evening hours, our southeastern county is seeing a little bit of that rain. This front will continue to push to the east, and we should have some fairly quiet weather for the upcoming weekend. We're not going to get a lot of rain out of this, less than a tenth of an inch of rain with this next cold front that swings through. So it's not much, and it's really our only chance for rain in the next 7 days. It stays nice and quiet for the next few days, quiet for the holiday today, mostly sunny, 55 with mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies Tuesday. Gets milder Wednesday, 60 for the high, and Thursday looks nice. We'll have some more clouds, as I mentioned, but temperatures will be about 10 degrees above normal, 66 degrees. Have the umbrella Friday. We'll have some rain, temperatures in the mid-60s. It's quieter and a little bit cooler over the weekend.
Nice little warm up there. Amy, thank you. We all know food prices have gone up, but are recent claims about how much they've gone up true? WRL fact checks what former President Donald Trump says about the rising prices of food at 5:30.
Then at 6, you'll have a different experience at the polls this year. Who are poll observers and why they'll be able to move more freely around your voting location? Summer's around the corner. Gas prices have started to climb ahead at noon. Why experts say you should never pay the full price you see on the pump.
And why the European Union is the latest to open an investigation into the social media service TikTok.
Winter is coming to an end, and so is the season of cheaper gas prices. AAA says the national average for price of unleaded gas this morning, $3.27 a gallon. North Carolina is lower than the national average, $3.15 a gallon, which is up from the state average of $3.06 just a week ago.
Gas prices nationwide tend to start their summer climb long before summer temperatures hit. Gloria Pasmino explains why and shares advice from experts who say you should never pay full price for a gallon of gas.
If you feel like you're paying more to fill up your cart lately, you're not imagining it. Gas prices have begun their annual seasonal increase as winter winds down.
We tend to see it right around Valentine's Day, President's Day. That's really when gas prices tend to start rising more noticeably.
Patrick DeHaan is head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, and he says this is the time of year that Americans start to see that rise at the pump and feel a pinch in their wallets.
Refineries start doing maintenance to prepare for the summer driving season. That maintenance sees shutdowns, less gasoline being produced, and also a switch over to summer gasoline, which will start here in just a week or two across much of the country.
According to AAA, the national average for gas is $3.28 a gallon, up 11 cents in the last week alone. For now, DeHaan says that's well within the normal range of about 35 to 85 cents a gallon from winter to spring peak, which tops out around Memorial Day weekend. But refinery outages due to cold weather and electrical issues in the last several weeks could push prices up even higher. But here's some good news. There are lots of ways to save at the pump.
A lot of stations have loyalty programs out now that will give you a discount just for putting in your information. There can be credit cards with rebates and rewards for using their card at a pump. Even Gas Buddy has a Pay with Gas Buddy card that links to a checking account that can save you up to 25 cents a gallon. So if you combine all of those, really nobody should be paying what that retail price says.
Gloria Pasmina reporting. And we have one more tool for you. The Fuel Tracker feature on the WRL News app will help you find the cheapest gas near your location.
The European Union has opened a formal investigation into TikTok. At issue is whether the company is doing enough to protect the minors on its platform. Investigators will also examine other suspected violations of the EU's Digital Services Act. Next at noon, we'll take you back to Cumberland County, where Gilbert Bays is live on the scene of a manhunt with new information on the person in custody. Most of us are accustomed to online banking these days. And coming up in our next half hour, how a community bank with local roots is taking their technology a step further and what it means for you.
Sick outs, transportation problems, and days out of the classroom. Why community leaders say the problems with Durham Public Schools are impacting the entire community and what they want done about it. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Let's go back to that breaking news in Cumberland County. A manhunt has ended with the shooting suspect in custody.
WRAL's Gilbert Bays just got some new information from law enforcement right there on the scene. Gilbert, I know this is all happening in real time, pretty quickly here. What do they tell you?
That's exactly right. They got a call that shots were fired in this area here. I want to give you a sense of where we are. This is Evans Dairy Road near Cedar Creek Road. For folks who are familiar with this area, this sundew gives you an idea of where we are. The crime scene tape is back here, but the actual scene itself is about a quarter mile down. If we go to Sky 5 video, you get a better sense of what's going on in terms of the investigation down there. We're told about an hour or so ago, an individual shot two people. One person has been confirmed dead by Cumberland County Sheriff Ennis Wright. The other person, we're told, has been taken to Cafer Valley Medical Center with life-threatening injuries. The individual who did the shooting apparently ran into the woods, and Cumberland County Sheriff's deputies pursued him, and they did catch him near Interstate 95, which is not too far from here. So the public is not at risk right now. That individual is in custody, and we're working to learn more about the connection between the shooter and the victims in this case. But right now, this area is going to be blocked off as investigators continue to piece together what happened out here. Again, one person dead, one in the hospital, and the suspect is in custody.
No threat to the community. They believe they have the person in custody. Gilbert Bays, live in Cumberland County. A community group in Durham wants a pause in the protests over the school system.
Now, the leader of the Durham Committee on the Affairs of Black People spoke about the problems in the last half hour. WRL's Monica Casey was there, and she joins us now with what he had to say. Monica?
Well, Walter Jackson is the chair of that committee. He spoke here today with concerns about how these issues are impacting everyone in the city and the county of Durham. We know from Superintendent Caddy Moore's press conference last week that some schools in Durham have no more wiggle room at this point, no days left in the bank to make up days because protests have closed schools so many times now. This committee is asking for a 30-day pause in any action that could lead to school being closed.
We urge all parties involved to make diligent efforts to come to a resolution that will work in the best interest of all of the parties concerned.
The committee is also now calling on the Durham County Commission to get more involved. Jackson says they want to see classified staff pay stay at those previous levels from last October, and they want the county to help fund it. I did ask if this committee is calling on the state for any additional help or funding. Jackson says not at this time. He says this committee believes this is a local problem that should have a local solution. Back to you.
Durham reporter Monica Casey on top of this story for us. Thanks, Monica.
Also happening this week, the board chair for Durham Public Schools will seat a new panel created to give district employees a greater voice in decision making. The group will include, among others, school board members, school administrators, and members of the Durham Association of Educators. Recent sick outs over those pay issues led to several days of canceled classes. On Thursday, school board chair Bettina Umstead announced plans will be who will be in this new work group. The entire situation could lead to changes in state law as well. It's the focus of our Sunday special report on WRL.com. It's illegal for government employees to go on strike in North Carolina, but the school workers in Durham say they didn't strike. Many took personal days, and that's legal. Now there are talks of whether it should remain legal in the future. For more on this story and how the sick outs could be a subject on the campaign trail this year, you can go to NC Capitol section of WRL.com.
The WRL Breaking News Tracker was on the scene of a crash involving a Wake County school bus this morning. Brett Neese shows us what happened.
Crews were able to clear that crash around 7 a.m. here at Corporate Center Drive and Chapel Hill Road. So I want to get you right to the video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker to show you the damage done to both the school bus and that white pickup truck. This crash happened around 6 this morning. The driver of the pickup truck has minor injuries but is expected to be okay. The driver of the school bus was not hurt. And good news, there were no kids on the school bus. Of course, it is President's Day, so most kids are off today. The crash had the westbound lanes of Chapel Hill Road closed for about an hour. I'm working to find out whether or not either driver will be charged in this crash. I'll keep you updated. In Raleigh, Brett Neese, WRL News.
Tonight in Raleigh, there'll be a screening of the documentary examining the 2015 murders of three people in an apartment in Chapel Hill. 36 Seconds, Portrait of a Hate Crime, features new interviews about the killings of Dia Barakat, Yusor Abu-Salah, and her sister, Rosanne Abu-Salah. The emotional documentary includes a confession from convicted murderer Craig Hicks. The screening starts at 6 at the Witherspoon Student Center on NC State's campus. It's a free event. After the film, there'll be a panel discussion on the investigation.
Our county-by-county coverage keeps you on top of what's happening in your communities today. We are looking at events in Wayne, Cumberland, and Wilson counties. We begin in Wayne County, where tonight parents can learn about new student assignment plans that affect three elementary schools. The system is moving students to fill the new Fremont Elementary that opens in August. Tonight's session starts at 6 at the new school on NC 222 near Interstate 795. In Cumberland County, leaders will break ground on a new homeless support center in Fayetteville. In addition to beds, it will offer access to programs and resources to help people achieve sustainable housing and improve their lives. The county plans for the facility to be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The event starts at 4 on Holly Lane. That's beside Fayetteville Technical Community College's Education Center. And in Wilson County, a popular fishing area closed this morning for the next 2 weeks. The parking lot and fishing area at the Wiggins Mill Dam closed for maintenance. This lot should be open by March 1st. The City Park entrance is another half mile down Wiggins Mill Road for anyone who wants to get out in the warmer weather that we have on the way.
On this President's Day Monday, we have an update on America's longest living former president, how Jimmy Carter is spending his days. And maybe you think you're doing a pretty good job of eating healthy. Why experts say that may be a stretch, and in what ways people consistently fall short.
Today it's President's Day, and it also marks 1 year since former President Jimmy Carter entered hospice care. The 39th president was last seen publicly at the funeral of his wife, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, back in November. He was diagnosed with cancer that had spread to his brain years ago and chose to terminate medical care last year. His family says he's still kicking and likes to spend his days watching sports on television and enjoying the company of his grandchildren. President Carter turned 99 years old back in October. He's the longest living former president in U.S. history.
New data shows hundreds of hospitals across the nation are at risk of closing their doors. Researchers with a Chicago healthcare advisory firm say 43% of hospitals are operating in the red. Those in rural areas are at highest risk of closing. 141 rural hospitals have closed since 2010, and data suggests 453 are following a similar path. Many are dropping critical healthcare services that bring in revenue, like that can also create significant costs like maternity care and cancer treatments.
Your favorite date night dinner and drink spot could be in danger of closing. Rules for bars that serve food are about to change. They'll need health inspections and kitchens that are up to restaurant standards. While many bars say they have no problem getting inspected, upgrading their kitchen is either too expensive or impossible with the space they have.
We're not looking at the physical limitations of these small spaces and making accommodations. We're going to end up with the same 12 restaurants in every town in North Carolina. And that's not good for anybody.
Five on Your Side looks at the new rules that some bars say will put them out of business tonight at 6.
Many Americans say they know what it takes to eat healthier, but that doesn't mean they're doing it. A recent survey from Purdue University shows 80% of people want to lose weight this year by eating healthier. Researchers say people think they're on track to make that happen. 84% say they rank their diets either good, very good, or excellent. But some health experts aren't so sure. The CDC says most Americans actually do not have a healthy diet because they eat too much sodium, saturated fats, and sugar, which can lead to chronic diseases.
A bank with a history here in North Carolina is taking its work into the cloud. Find out how Mechanics and Farmers Bank says it will help the everyday customer next. Plus, the opportunity for an out-of-this-world experience. NASA simulating life on Mars. Find out if you qualify to take part.
One of North Carolina's oldest banks is getting a significant technology upgrade. Mechanic and Farmers Bank announced a partnership that moves some of its operations into the cloud. Banks are closed today for President's Day, but joining us this noon to explain what this means to people out there are the CEO of M&F Bank, Jim Sills, and the CEO of the company making this happen, nCino CEO, Pierre Naudé. Great to have you both with us today. We thank you for your time. First question, Mr. Naudé, can you explain why banking in the cloud is so important right now?
Yes, the cloud-based banking leveled the playing field for the smallest banks all the way to the biggest banks. nCino's got over 400 banks on the platform, ranging from Wells Fargo, Bank of America, all the way down to small community banks. So this really enables smaller banks to have exactly access to the same sophisticated technologies and customer satisfaction than very large banks.
And Mr. Sills, what changes should people expect to see as a result of this partnership that you have now?
Jeff, our customers will be able to interact with us more effectively through digital interactions. You know, customers want to see the data and they want to have access to our information by asking us, when am I going to get approved for this loan? So this platform allows us to provide those answers much faster.
And at the core of this technology, helping M&F work with underserved markets, how will it do that specifically?
You know, we're a bank that's been in business for 116 years, really to reduce the wealth gap. By having this technology, it'll allow us to do more loans, and that's what it's all about. It's about providing more access to capital to the communities that we serve all across North Carolina.
Mr. Naudé, people here in the cloud, and they might think that there could be security concerns. Is that anywhere on your radar?
That's not on my radar. The cloud today is very secure, you know. Large-scale banks, large-scale corporations leverage the cloud and cloud platforms and cloud technologies. nCino does a great job of protecting the information. So our job is to make sure we're processing the loans effectively and efficiently to get the money out on the street.
Certainly. And Mr. Nade, how about from your perspective, since you're providing this?
If you look at the amount of money that smaller banks can spend on their IT infrastructure, and you look at the collective amount nCino and Salesforce, which is the platform we're on, can spend, we can far outspend in security and technology what small banks can do. So although we're always diligent, and it's my main concern, is a data breach, I feel that banks are much better off in the hand of companies like us, which can spend the money and make sure that we are ready and always in place to protect the data of our consumers as well as the banks.
And branching out and up into the cloud. Thank you both, Pierre Nade of nCino and Jim Sills of M&F. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, speaking of banks, this just in, Capital One is looking to acquire Discover Financial Services. This is according to a report from the Wall Street Journal. They say the deal could be announced as early as tomorrow. The merger of the two companies, who are among the largest credit issuers in the U.S., would expand Capital One's credit card offerings. Again, this deal could be announced as soon as tomorrow.
Michelle, thanks. We have beautiful weather out there this noon. Let's get right to meteorologist Amy Wilmoth with our temperatures and when we'll get our warm-up this week.
Eventually, we'll jump into the 60s. That's going to start by the time we get to Wednesday, but still on the cool side today. A lot of sunshine, though. A live look over Dix Park. It's 51 degrees right now in Raleigh. The sunset today, we're now at 6 o'clock in the evening. Sunsets, and as we get to March 10th, we'll jump forward an hour, and we'll be at 7 o'clock sunsets, really after 7 o'clock. So the sun's setting a little bit later. And speaking of sunsets, we had some beautiful ones sent in yesterday. This one sent in by Jason. This is Southeast Durham. It looked like the sky was on fire. If you happen to grab a picture of the sunset tonight, go ahead and send it to us. Just go to WREL.com and search Weather Watchers. You can post your photos there, and occasionally we'll show them on TV. We certainly had some beautiful sunset photos sent in yesterday. 48 degrees, the current temperature in Boone. Busy in the mountains right now. A lot of folks headed that way to do some skiing for the holiday. It's 51 degrees right now in Raleigh, 52 in Greenville. So it's cool across the entire state right now. It's 55 even in Wilmington. It's quiet, though, with high pressure, our main weather feature that's going to keep all the rain south of us for today. The next system that impacts us will impact us Thursday night into Friday, and it brings us some rain. It's this cold front that's bringing some flooding rains to California. Numerous counties near L.A. under flash flood warnings right now. They're getting some very heavy rain. By the time this system goes all the way across the country, it's going to lose some of the moisture. It's going to bring us some rain, but we're not going to get a lot of rain with that cold front as it swings in by the end of the week. A live look at a lot of the ski resorts. Very, very busy for this past weekend and today. Tomorrow will still be busy. They have some snow. They were making snow. Temperatures were below freezing, and they were all making snow last night into early this morning. Around town here today, temperatures are pretty close to normal. 56 in Raleigh, 55 in Durham, and 58 for the high in Fayetteville. President's Day looking pretty good with plenty of sunshine out there. Outdoor practices. Temperatures will stay in the 50s through 5 o'clock, but once the sun sets, it is going to cool down. So make sure you are dressed appropriately for any practices you have outside. We'll be in the upper 40s by 6, low 40s by 8 o'clock this evening. We do have some mild temperatures in the days ahead. We'll be pretty close to normal for today and tomorrow, and then we're in the 60s by Wednesday, mid-60s for Thursday and Friday. That does come with some rain Friday. We have about a 50% chance for some scattered showers. And we have some cold mornings on tap as well. The normal 35 will be below that for the next couple of mornings. This morning, we dropped down into the upper 20s, but it's a little bit milder Friday, 53 for the low temperature, but we're cooling back down into the upper 30s for low temperatures by the time we get to Saturday. Looking ahead to the end of the month into March, and it looks like we'll have above normal temperatures, and that's the case for a good part of the country. And as far as rainfall is concerned, the northwestern part of North Carolina, above normal rainfall expected, and that's good. We need some rain. We are below normal for the entire viewing area for the last 30 days. Stays quiet and dry for the next few days. We'll start to warm things up by the end of the week. Our next chance for rain Thursday night into Friday, looking pretty quiet over the weekend.
Amy, thanks. We've all had the thought, what would we do if we won the lottery? There's one answer that's probably not on your list. Coming up, how one big winner let the prize slip away.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
For the first time, leaders at St. Augustine's University are answering questions about the financial future of the HBCU. In the last week, we've learned the private university did not pay its employees on time and owes millions of dollars to contractors and the IRS. Interim President Marcus Burgess admits the school is in a very dire situation, but he says it will not shut down even as it fights to maintain its accreditation.
Thousands of Bank of America customers may have had their information compromised in a data breach last year. The data breach happened to Infosys McCamish Systems. The company services deferred compensation plans for Bank of America. More than 50,000 customers nationwide may have had their names, addresses, and social security numbers leaked.
A father is facing additional charges in a crash that killed three people, including his son. The deadly crash happened Saturday night on U.S. 64 alternate in Edgecombe County. Troopers say 39-year-old Jerry Pollard now faces three counts of felony death by motor vehicle, one count of serious injury by motor vehicles, speeding, reckless driving, and failure to maintain a lane.
Winning the lottery, it's a dream, right? We know what we'll do with the money. Some of us even know how we'd tell our friends and bosses. One lottery winner, though, let those dreams slip away. A Mega Millions ticket purchased in Florida last August won $36 million. But no one ever turned it in, and the deadline has passed. The Florida Lottery says 80% of the value will now go to an education fund. The rest will go into another prize offering. Wow.
Here's your chance to live on Mars without leaving Earth. NASA is looking for volunteers to simulate a year-long mission to Mars in a habitat in Houston. The ground-based mission will include simulations of spacewalks, crop growth, and tech failures. Now, it's not just for people who are fans of NASA or outer space. You have to have a doctorate in a STEM field and 1,000 hours as a pilot to be considered for this. NASA is accepting applications through April 2nd. Meet today's pet of the day. Rosa is an 8-month-old plot hound and chocolate lab mix. Her idea of a great time is being around people and other dogs. She has a very tender heart and a desire to learn. With the right people, she will blossom into someone's best, loving, and lifelong friend. Rosa is good-natured. She's eager to learn. She would blend nicely into a committed family or do well with an individual who wants a snuggle buddy. Call ARF Rehab at 919-894-1111.
How much sleep are your teenagers getting each night? If it's less than 8 to 10 hours, health experts say that's not enough. And today at 4, how you can help your kids set a nighttime routine that puts them on the right track. Plus, how a lack of sleep can negatively affect them.
Oh, to get 8 hours of sleep a night.
We're not really the authorities on this topic.
In another life, maybe. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Enjoy that sunshine out there.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 20.